Yeah, just like a straight broken blade, then it's gone. He doesn't have a class now?
He just finished his new one.
Oh.
They were going home. But it
started
to rain.
Oh, it started to rain.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so verse 6. Word notes. Clarifying the source of theism, the living entities in different categories are being described. Surasya Hare Anava Iva. Didn't we just read this one? Translation. Just like the sparks coming out of the flaming fire, infinite living entities are emanating as the transcendental particles of sunlight in the effulgent rays of Sri Hari, being the transcendental sun himself. Although non-different from Sri Hari, all living entities have eternally different status. The eternal difference between the Godhead and the living entity is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by dint of his exceptional qualities, has kept the illusory potency eternally subjugated as a servitor, and that by virtue he is the Supreme Lord of Nature, thus to be accepted as Godhead. Whereas one who is susceptible to the influence of illusion simply because of his marginal nature, in spite of the fact that he is in a position of liberation, should be categorized as a living entity. Right? He's in a position of liberation, but he doesn't function in that way. He becomes overwhelmed by illusion. Right? Does that make sense? So that then differentiates between the living entity who are cognizant and the Supreme Lord who is cognizant. Right? So that difference then is made. So verse 7. So 1. Okay. Word notes. Those living entities have two divisions. One is eternally God-conscious, and the other is eternally forgetful. One is open-minded and eager owing to an awareness of real knowledge, and the other is deviated for his lack of knowledge. The God-conscious entity is situated as a servitor to Godhead as a result of his inclination to Godhead. And the other is living a life of mundane materialism, being defeated by illusion, due to his diversion in the way of spiritual thinking. The symptoms of a living entity gripped under the influence of illusion are narrated thus. Sarupartain hinan. Awareness of the constitutional potency is one's transcendental source of knowledge. An absence of such awareness means a lack of knowledge about constitutional potency. It means, in other words, you know about your constitutional position, you don't know. Like that. So those who understand that living entity is servant of God, that's his eternal position, then they're in proper knowledge. Those who don't, then are an illusion. Nija Shuka Param, one who is desirous of sense gratification while disregarding the primary duty of worshipping Hari. Nija Sukha, he's into his own pleasure, not into the Lord's. Yes.
This will be considered anamor?
But regarding the primary duty of worshipping Hari, it may be basically anything, because it's, you know, extended sense gratification, or that he's going to perform his religious duties so that he may enjoy in the future. You know, you can always extend that. So basically means mundane consciousness, right? Like that. But because the word sense gratification, its application is going to be anamoya. But it may be found through the other mediums. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Krishna Bhimukhan, running after material enjoyment, entirely forgetting the fact that only Krishna is all in all. Dandyan, living entities who are subject to punishment. Harer Maya, illusion as the external potency of Sri Hari. Gutna, Guna ni Gada Jalai, with the shackles of modes like goodness, passion, and ignorance. Kalayati, involves. Shuler Linger, Vlivi Bhavaranai, again encompassed under the gross material body, with genitals including the covering of mind, intelligence, and ego. Kleshani Karai, along with sufferings are sinful activities, causes of such sinful activities, and the three modes arising out of nescience. Mahakarma Kalanai, through the vast material world of fruitive activities, including all unforeseen events, useless words and speeches have the qualities of continuous destruction, creating great obstruction of bondage. So here's useless words and speeches, right? So basically means it's not connected to the Lord. Patitan, those fallen and conditioned living entities. Svargani Rayo Nayati, make the living entities, as a result of their own good and bad types of fruitive activities, travel through the heavenly and hellish planet. Translation. Constitutionally, a living entity is an obedient servant of Sri Krishna. The illusory potency enchains it with shackles of modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, all such living entities who are always after sense gratification. Deviated from Krishna consciousness and thus doomed for chastisement, that illusion takes them around the heavenly and hellish planets, dragging them through the bondage of results of fruitive activities full of suffering, covered by the gross body with genitals. Okay, so this is the conditioned living entity, right? We've established that there are living entities, so then there's going to be those who are Nitya Siddha and Nitya Bhada. Right, so this is the Nityabhada, those who are conditioned. So they're always there, controlled by the modes of nature, then due to their you know, karma and all that, then they're dragged around the universe through all heavenly and hellish situations, you know, being under the modes of nature, and then they are in a body, right, in a gross material body, that then is either male or female, and that's of great interest to them.
Maharaj, can you explain this Harer Maya, illusion as the external potency of Sri Hari? So how is that the symptom of a living entity gripped under the influence of illusion?
Hmm?
And here it says that illusion as the external potency of Sri Hari.
Yeah.
So how is it that illusion as, I didn't catch it.
Means how is the illusion?
It says illusion as the external potency of Sri Hari. Does that mean that the living entity is thinking that he's in an illusion because his external potency?
What is that?
It is the window open.
Open the window.
You just go, which, the screen inside or the... There's no wind, why would that be?
Mm-hmm.
open.
For its screen?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Means the external potency is a real thing. But you take it for being something that it's not. Right? Or you think that things that are going on are something other than what they are. Your watch. Your watch itself has the potency to establish time. Why not?
This watch can be wrong at some point.
No, but it's taking Venice, but that means it's saying it's some sort of time. But how does the potency of time work in that watch? Is it coming from the metal? Right? Does dead matter include time? Is it one of the elements?
Mm-hmm.
So then where does time come from?
Sure.
Yeah, so how is it then in the watch?
As its potency?
Yes, so therefore, when you look at your watch, what do you think the time is coming from?
From the watch.
From the watch. That's illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's coming from Krishna. It may be a medium for conveying that potency, but it's not time itself, it's dead matter. So therefore the dead matter is not the illusion, it's what you think the dead matter is, that's the illusion. That's why the acharyas, they can function in the material world, it's the same dead matter, but they're not an illusion. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, anything else? Okay. Verse 8, word notes. In order to describe the constitutional position of the living entities free from the bondage of nature through devotional services to Godhead, the process of attaining the constitutional position of the conditioned living entities is thus narrated. Yada, the period of traveling through the forms of various species according to the results of fruitive activities. Iha, in this land of India. Kadachit, any time as a result of accumulated good effects from devotional services to Godhead. Hari rasa galad Vaishnava janam, any Vaishnava person whose heart is absorbed in the devotional mellow of Sri Hari. Sampashyan, by looking at. Tad anu gamane, following in his footsteps, his way of life, devotional services, and worshipping of Sri Krishna. Ruchi syat, interest is developed. Tadasa Krishna vritya, during that period the living entity starts chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna along with other spiritual exercises. Krame shanakai, slowly by and by. Mai kadasam, Jajachi, forsakes his conditioned state under illusion. Swarupam, Vibhrano, and attaining the position of liberation upon his achievement of own transcendental constitutional state of being. You know, she says here, he attains liberation upon achievement of his own transcendental constitutional position. Right? Because that's liberation. And once established in relationship with Krishna, that's liberation. Right? That's in the Navaprameyas. Navaprameyas then establish that liberation means that you're establishing a relationship with Godhead. Because otherwise, technically, you're not liberated. You're just temporarily not under the modes of nature. So, Mayi Kadasam. Chajati, forsakes his conditioned state under illusion. Swarupam vibhano, and attaining the position of liberation upon his achievement of his own transcendental constitutional state of being. Vimala rasa bhogam, blissful taste of divine love, kurute starts having. Translation. While traveling through various species of high as well as low grades in this material world, a living entity conditioned by illusion develops a taste for pursuing the Vaishnava way of life. Whenever he comes in contact of a Vaishnava person who is absorbed in transcendental mellow Sri Hari, and his illusory conditioning starts withdrawing itself gradually through the process of chanting the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna, so that the said living entity qualifies himself, relishing the unalloyed transcendental mellow of devotional service of Lord Sri Krishna, while attaining gradually his constitutional position.
But so by the
by good fortune he comes in contact with the practicing devotees. By that, then he takes up the practice of chanting and other such activities. And in this way, then gradually he comes to the platform of obtaining to his natural constitutional position. Right? Does that make sense? So that means there's the Bhadajiv and this is the Mukhyajiv. Verse 9. This is thus said that all spiritual and material worlds are but manifestations of the omnipotency of Krishna. Yes.
Sorry, I haven't heard those Babaji and Mukhiji, but I haven't heard those
before. Babaji and...
Will you just describe two terms?
Baddhaji and Mukhiji.
Baddha,
oh, okay.
Jiva, and Mukhya,
oh, okay.
Jiva. Because my tongue's getting fatter or something. Sarvam kadachit akilam, all worlds of spiritual and material creation. Hare Shakte Parinati, ultimate results of the omnipotency of Sri Hari. Syat, become. Vivartam, theory of evolution as propounded by impersonal Mayavadis, explaining a thing wrongly. Sana Satyam, that is not true. Shruti Miti Virudham, against the principles of Shruti or Vedic scriptures. Kali Malam, accordingly, knowledge of evolution should be despised as the filthy covering of Kali Yuga, the age of quarreling. Tata Nitya Vishaye, in the eternal entity of Sri Hari. Premna Siddhir Vati, desire for divine love or an urge to satisfy Lord Sri Krishna is achieved. Translation. All the worlds of spiritual and material entity are manifestations of Sri Krishna's omnipotence. The Western theory of evolution is not true. This is nothing but a filthy covering of Kali Yuga and is against Vedic principles. The doctrine of inconceivable oneness and difference is the only unalloyed source of knowledge. Inasmuch as divine love is crystallized as the eternal knowledge all the time disseminating from the said doctrine of inconceivable oneness and difference. So, material and spiritual, everything's coming from Krishna. So this idea of evolution, that's all happening on its own by chance, then that's illusory because people are thinking that there's something separate from Godhead. Right? So it can't function in that way. Does that make sense? Even if they're saying that this living entity, you know, you had living entity without any senses at all, and, you know, one cell, and suddenly decides that, wow, it's really, really, you know, not so nice here, and then turns into a fish, and then one day decides to grow legs and crawl out on the land, and then from there, you know, develop until he becomes Einstein or something like that, then that's okay, but how would that happen unless it follows the laws of nature, right? These scientists that are doing this are saying that there's immutable laws, and they're following these laws, but at the same time, they'll say everything's chance. There's got to be something wrong with their brain. You know what I'm saying? There's got to be something wrong. Everything's the laws of nature, everything has to be math, it has to be observable. At the same time, it's just chance. They've never seen it, it's never happened, the odds are so far against. You know what I'm saying? It's so much easier to accept that there's somebody who's really powerful and he created it. In fact, most people in the world believe that. right? And they're going to drop that against something that is the calculation of its possibility that it can even happen once is in the millions, let alone having gone through move from one cell animal up to a human being. It's like practically impossible. In fact, their own science can't prove it. Like that, it's just some ideas. Does that make sense? So this kind of thing, but the main point that it does is it tries to cut God out of the equation. That's the main difficulty. Yeah.
A few days ago, one of the boys were mentioning that they have this, they used to have as a game, they had this powder, you used to put it in water, and it turns into fish and starts actually moving around. So what is that?
Sea monkeys.
Yeah.
Sea monkeys.
They're kind of plankton.
Yeah. So then when you put them in water, you have to add something first to make the water so that they will come alive.
Okay. Well, they come alive, but they're plankton, not fish.
Yeah. No, they're type of, just plankton. They're not, what way is it? They're not like real fish.
They're not fish. Plankton. Little one-celled animals that whales come along and eat, right? That's amazing, right? Something so, the biggest animal eats the smallest, you know? It's kind of interesting how Krishna arranged it.
But they
were already alive before. You know, it'd be just like you're asleep and I come, see, I will create a living entity. And I come in and there's a sheep there and they can't see anything. And then I will come in and poke this sheep or something, or pour water on it. Yes, you poured water on it like that. So I'm pouring water on it, and then suddenly it gets up and goes, hey, what's going on? And this thing gets up and runs around. And, you know what I'm saying? Is that okay?
I have a question about this evolution as propounded by Mayavadis. My question is, did Lord Chaitanya specifically preach against evolution as we know it? And this Dashamul, it was compiled from his teachings to Rupa Goswami, because he never composed verses about Dashamul. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's composition, correct? So it's just he distilled these teachings from his Sanatan Shiksha, Rupa Shiksha, something like that?
Could be. It's just as handed down also.
Yeah.
But, it's because Lord Chaitanya was talking and people were hearing, and so then this is what's coming down on the Parampara. That's why Parampara is important.
What is the connection between evolution and Mayavadis?
There's Vivartavad and there's, I forget what our one is. Parinamavad? Yeah, ours is Parinamavad. Ours is transformation. And this is Vivarta, and I don't remember what Vivarta means.
Illusion.
That somehow or another that the living entity comes under, God comes under illusion. And so then, in this way, then there's, and all you have to do is remove that illusion, you'll understand your God again. Right? Well, we take it that, you know, there's transformation. That the living entity expand, you know, Vishnu, then you have Shiva, then you have the external energy, the transformation of the internal. And like this, then the illusion, when that comes up. So then, if you want to take it that way, that this, but he's saying the Western theory of evolution here. So you get both. You know, it'll cover both. In that the Mayavadi's concept, how the God has become a conditioned living entity, that's bogus. Or how dead matter has become a living entity. So either way, they're both bogus. So whether you're starting with the Vedic impersonalists, or your the Mayavadis, or the Western, it doesn't matter. Both of them cut God out of the equation as the controller. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Anything else for me? Okay, verse 10. Word notes. After discussing, so in other words, Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, you've established how the living entity and, you know, is non-different from the Lord, but different. Impersonalists want to say he is the same. He's just forgotten that he's the same. And the Western will just say he's completely different. There's no God. Like that. Does that make sense? So both of them miss the point that he's simultaneously one and different. Like that. So only a Chintaveda Veda Tattva can give the pure unalloyed understanding of the relationship. Right? It means the unalloyed can only be understood through that. You can get pure understandings through, you know, Vishishtadvaita, Vishuddhadvaita, Dvaita-dvaita. Right? You get an improper one by Advaita. Right? But only a Chintaveda Veda Tattva can take you to the Braja level, the unalloyed level of understanding. That makes sense? Because otherwise these others, there's some consideration yourself, what you're looking for. That's why you see he makes a distinction here between desire for divine love or an urge to satisfy Lord Shri Krishna is achieved. It means divine love means that you want to do that, but a lot of times we may be attracted that, oh, divine love, that'll be nice because it's spiritual love. But we're still considering ourselves, that we want to experience that rather than we want to give pleasure to Krishna. Though they're one and the same, but our view on it will be a little different. So you start at one level and then you progress until you actually get to the proper level. Is that okay? Yes, no? Right? You know, it's just like the kid. He wants to, when he grows up, be the fireman, right? You know, he drives around in the big red trucks and they ring bells and they, you know, they put out fires and it's very exciting and all that. So he's looking at it from that, but when he grows up, he becomes a fireman, then it's more for the social duty and helping people and protecting the public and as a public service. And you understand? Slightly different. Like that. So in other words, one you see the position of it or the enjoying of it, the other one you see how you can actually help. Verse 10. After discussing so far on the aspects of relationship, now the theory of exposition and requisites are described thus. Okay, so this is now, okay, 9. Pure devotional service is the only means for obtaining the final objective of life. Shruti Krishnakyam Krishnakyanam Smarana Nati Puja. Oh, dighi kanastadha dasyam shakyam paricharana mapi atmatanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering obeisances, worshipping, serving the Lord's feet, acting as the Lord's servant, making friends with the Lord, and surrendering oneself fully to the Lord. Navagani, these 9 processes of devotional service. Shraddha pavita hridayasadhayati va. He who performs these services with all due respect. Ashvraje sevalubto vimalarasa havam labhate. Such a devotee anxious to offer services to Vraja attains unalloyed ecstasy and mellow of the sweetest nature. Translation. A devotee who performs the 9 processes of devotional service, namely hearing the name and glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chanting his glories, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord's lotus feet, worshipping the deity, offering obeisances unto the Lord, acting as the Lord's servant, making friends with the Lord, and surrendering himself fully to the Lord, in all sincerity and dedication to offer his services to Vraja Dham, ultimately attains unalloyed devotional ecstasy to Krishna. Right? So through these 9 processes, one will come to the platform of a pure, means he applies these 9 in the service in the holy dham, and then he comes to the platform of unalloyed devotional service. Okay? Yes? Questions? Anything? Okay, now the pure love of God is the final objective of life.
Question.
Yes.
So here is the distinction between attaining Dham, or refers to Bhavan Mahavrindavan. refers to realization of the Dham.
Means?
A distinction between the unalloyed emotional service in ecstasy.
Yeah.
So first you achieve the Dham and then you achieve pure and unalloyed emotional
service. In all sincerity and dedication to offer services to Raja Dham. See, Vraja is a place of where a certain variety of service is being rendered. Right? Like you have Vaikuntha or Dwarka or Ayodhya. So Vraja then is a place where there's a certain mood of service. So you're performing these in surrender to the mood of Vraja. Right? So in other words, you're performing the nine kinds of devotional activities in the mood of Raja Dham, that will give you unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. Okay? Yeah?
Where are we in terms of Sambandha of Abhideya Prayojana?
This is Abhideya. If you look at your first page, the 10 roots, remember 9 is the devotional service, is Abhideya.
I'm just confused because there's 12 verses.
This is the 10 roots. It's showing the 10 dadasamul. This is verses. It can use however many verses it wants to establish it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So verse 1 doesn't mean that it's establishing the first point.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1 is the opening.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So therefore then we're...
So of these 12, how are they divided?
The same way as the first one is.
The same way as the 10?
Yeah. It means the first one is, see, he opens with verse 1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Amnaya Praha Tattvam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an overview of all of them.
I see.
So then with the second verse, then he describes the first one, establishes Vedic literature.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Okay.
With the third one, he establishes second. So therefore, you're one verse behind. So 10
yeah.
is establishing 9.
And even verse 12 is just kind of a summary.
And that will be a conclusion,
okay.
Yeah. Because you always have an opening and closing.
Right.
So that means if you have 10 verses that are describing the 10 topics,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to have a verse to open and a verse to close. You'll end up with 12.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that okay? Okay. So in verse 11, upon making an assessment of the theory of relationship, exposition, and and requisites, the primary duties of a living entity is thus narrated. Jivanam ka prabhu ka jiva idam achit vishvam katam va etad artha trayam vicharya. After justifying the three aspects, namely, who is the master or controller of and hence worshipable by the living entity, who are the living entities themselves and why is this non-spiritual, in other words, this material world created. Haribhajana Krichashtra Chatura, intelligent person who is engaged in worshipping Sri Hari, upon justifying the said three aspects on the basis of scriptural reasoning. Right? In other words, Chit Achit Ishwara, right? God, the living entity, and that. These are the three aspects. Right, and so then an intelligent person then is engaged in worshiping the Lord, having established these three, right? Because the Dasamula is doing this, right? The Dasamula is establishing these three. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have Shastra, which is going to be the basis. Then you have three that establish Godhead, three that establish a living entity, one that establishes the living entity's relationship with the Lord. Right? Then you have, having done that, one will take up devotional service. You know, having done that, one will come to the platform of pure love of God. Does that make sense? Abhedasham. Abhedam sha. Justification of non-difference with Brahman, with the conviction that I am Brahman. I am Brahma. Dharmam, all the religions relating to work, knowledge, and yogic practices. Shakalam aparadhanam. No. Shakala Shakala Mara no Mapara Dham. All the offenses relating to holy name and offering services to Godhead. Pariharan, avoiding. Hari Dasa, Vaishnav, living entity. Hari Janai, Harer, Hamanadha Pivati, becomes glorified in relishing the holy name of Sri Hari, together with the devotees of Sri Hari. Translation, who is Krishna? Who am I as a living entity? What is the spiritual world and material world? These are the basic questions upon which a person engaged in worshipping Sri Hari and intelligently well-versed in the scriptures make a justified assessment and starts relishing the holy name of Sri Hari as a servant of Hari, together with the saintly devotees. After relinquishing all concepts of non-differentiated Brahman, all pious and impious living entities, and all sorts of offenses whatsoever. So he takes up the chanting. So once one understands all these points based on the scriptures, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, right, he takes up the chanting of the holy name. He begins to relish this chanting of the holy name. And he therefore then establishes himself as a servant of the Lord, as their servants. Right? Then he gives up all the ideas of non-differentiated Brahman, pious, impious, and offenses, because that's all mundane. Pious and impious activities are mundane. Right? So it says here, he gives up this concept. After relinquishing all concepts of non-differentiated Brahman, all pious and impious living entities, and all sorts of offenses whatsoever. So in other words, association with or even identifying with. Does that make sense? That's why we always speak strongly on the idea, if we get too distracted by all this morality or being good or politically correct or socially right, that's this. It's mundane concepts of pious and impious. It's not devotional. Right? Because the motive behind the person actually being worried about these is not devotional. He would be worried about these even if he was not a devotee. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Oh, worried about, you know, devotees. I bumped into one temple where in the temple they cook vegan. What's that got to do with reality? So why is that coming in? They would be vegans if they weren't devotees. Right? Devotee is, we offer to Krishna what he likes to eat. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that they may say, well, the cows are not being treated right, but if you don't use their milk, then by taking their milk and using it in the Lord's service, then the cow is benefited. If you don't use it in the Lord's service, then they're going to eat the cow anyway. The only reason they keep cows is because people buy milk. You don't buy milk, then they'll keep the cows just to eat them, right? And then the cow gets no benefit. How can you say that the rice that you eat has been, you know, done in such a way that the person doing it was done with great love and affection, or guys just come along with big machines and just harvest it, and, you know, completely impersonal, and the rice is, you know, didn't get any personal attention at all. You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, we don't make any complaint there. You know what I'm saying? So the whole idea is by engaging in the Lord's service, being offered to the Lord, then that living entity attains, you know, great benefit. That makes sense? So therefore, this is what is used, this is what how you can get it, so therefore you use it. Okay. In other words, these mundane concepts can't be, it means it's not that these areas aren't used. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha are used in devotional service. That's all we have to engage in the Lord's service, right? We're in the material world. Do we have anything else in the material world to engage? Right? You have something different than earth, water, fire, air, ether to engage? Mind, intelligence, false ego? Right? All the senses, the sense objects, the tanmatras. That's all there is. But we engage those in the Lord's service, so then it becomes perfect. Right? It's imperfect as it stands, but by engaging it, it becomes perfect. Right? So in the same way, as therefore our purpose is that we want to please Krishna, therefore we engage these things. But if it's a matter of, I think like this anyway, I am a moralist, I am a political, you know, correctite, you know, or whatever, So then, but I can engage that in the Lord's service. That's okay. But understand that underlying it, that's your motive. And if you're not careful, you don't want it to take more prominence in devotional service. Just like a sense gratifier may engage his senses in the Lord's service, but his motive is pleasing his own senses. But he connects that to Krishna. So that's nice. That's a start. But to say that, you know, sense gratification is the right way, you know, and devotional service isn't actually as important, then you got yourself a bogus philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So it's all right to engage all these things, sense gratification, political correctness, economics, justice, all these things, morality. That's fine to engage them. That's standard. That's what you should be doing. But to say that they stand above devotional service, that's a serious mistake. Because right here we're saying, you know, above that to the Brahman platform, understanding how everything's Brahman, even that consumption is good enough. Because you just see Bhagavan. So they can be used as stepping stones, but they can't be taken that they themselves are the goal or they are the process. No, they are elements to be engaged in the process. They aren't the process. Right? Morality is not the process. It can be an element within the field that you use in the process. Right? Does that make sense? There's a difference between the field of activities and the engagement of the field in Krishna service. Does that make sense? But because if you take the field as the goal, then you're not leaving the field. And if you're only dealing with sambandha, and technically that means there is no actual abhideya or prayojana. So you're only dealing with one aspect. So then what is that? Right? That's sankarshan only. So that's impersonalism. Right? Because for them, everything is in there. It's all Brahman. So it's not dynamic, it's static. That's why it gives no satisfaction. So that's where all these things, even though it seems that one's doing so much, one's doing nothing. Because one can't tell the difference between the field of activities or the sambandha, you know, and the abhideya, the actual activity itself, because one doesn't know what the actual prayojana is. And that's why it's important to learn these things. Right? Okay.
That's why this verse would be considered prayojana?
In one sense, to me, it's a... See, because there are a few printings of this work.
Mm-hmm.
Most printings are like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen one where there's one more verse in here that talks about Radha and Krishna. But only one of the mutts published that book. So the problem is we need that one to get in the final verse. This one is giving an overview, basically saying one who sees according to these dasamul,
mm-hmm.
then he'll be able to come to this platform,
yeah.
Right? And then 12 is closing it up. Dasamulam sevayam, to practicing these 10 instructive maxims. Adhyamayam hitva, by eradicating the disease of nescience, just like many people destroy various feverish diseases with the help of taking a potion made from the extracts of 10 varieties of herbal roots. It's called the Dashamula Arista. Similarly, by eradicating the disease of Krishna adverseness through practicing these 10 instructive maxims. Sarusangata bhavapushtim tata tushtim labhate. Attain eternal bliss and loving ecstasy together with saintly persons. Translation. Through practicing these 10 instructive maxims, the living entity attains eternal bliss and loving ecstasy together with saintly persons after eradicating the disease of nescience. Right, so you could take it means this concludes, in other words, through these 10, then you will attain perfection. And I was saying the same thing at the end. So we understand from the Tatparyalingas that following these, it means understanding and practicing these 10 is the main point of this treatise. And so that's the, you know, what Lord Chaitanya would be talking about. Okay, so did you get this other, the second part?
Yeah.
Part 2.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll start on that tomorrow. Like that. And then after that, then we'll see whether we go into this Chaitanya Shiksha, Sri Chaitanya Shiksha, which is a much more elaborate description of the Dasamul. It's like 70-page document here. Right? Or whether we'll do this, I have to figure out where it was supposed to go. The 18-page document on Anvikshiki. And it came a little bit later than expected. But I think it'll be fine. We'll discuss it after. Okay.
No questions. Just,
okay, yeah, so many times the kids, you know, there's no question. Nope. And gets worried to scratch. Okay. So, I mean, are y'all comfortable with what's going on here? So trying to get grounded in these principles of the philosophy. In other words, you can bring everything back to these 10. Right? And you have methods of presentation and analyzation. So then when you go into the philosophy, it'll be very, very clear. Right? Does that make sense? So this class is for analyzing philosophy through this kind of perspective. Right? The morning is for studying specific books. This one is not as a study of books, it's a study of trying to develop a particular perspective. Okay? The morning class is so that you know well Gita, you know, Nectar Devotion, Upadeshamrita, and Ishopanishad, right? This class is so you have the kind of Gaudiya Vaishnava perspective on our philosophy, right? Yeah? And culture, that comes up after. That's the second part. Part one is this, part two is the whole culture and everything. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Intend on teaching the culture in the second half
of that? I wasn't sure if we would. It was a problem with just deciding on what we would use, whether using regular yogurt or we'd use flavored yogurt or we'd use Greek yogurt or something like that. Some suggest we use Shrikant because that would be more like, you know, Vedic and stuff like that. But, we're still trying to decide which one we would be using. Do you have any preference or anything?
I'm a vegan now.
You've got a problem. Then we can have that on the form. Are you vegan? If you're vegan, then you can't come to class. Whose is this one?
Thank you.